Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
You're listening to the Big Papa Net.
Hello.
Hi there. Is this Jean?
Yes, it is.
Jean, this is Liam calling. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are things over in Germany?
Well, it's almost midnight, but it's still, I'm here and I'm awake and I'm very happy talking to you.
Well, thank you.
We're very, very far out in Germany. It's just the farthest out countryside you can imagine here in Germany. It's the end of the world,
yeah,
so sometimes I do have problems. Yeah, this is the kind of place that it's just left alone. So it's great to have a studio here. It's just cows and farming and wine. A lot of vineyards around here. They have excellent wine here.
Perfect for studio. Just hit the wine and not worry about offending the neighbors.
Absolutely. No, it's a great place to live, especially for me growing up in Norway by the sea, you know, by the fjord,
right.
Living in peace half of my life. So it was. It's great to be here.
All right, so I guess we can get started.
Yeah.
You're listening to Third Eye Cinema, your source for in-depth discussion of cult cinema. Tonight we're talking music with the lovely and talented Liv Christine from the Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio. Matters, cult, grindhouse, drive-in, independent, and underground film from the dawn of the talkies through the early 90s. Tonight, we're continuing our music series with Gothic Viking Chanteuse Liv Christine. As a founding member of the band who now single-handedly birthed the gothic metal genre, Theater of Tragedy, Liv has gone on to front the classiest and most beloved of pagan/symphonic acts, the mighty Leaves Eyes, with her husband, producer, and mastermind Alex Krull of Atrocity and Master Sound Studios. With four further albums under her belt as a solo act, Liv joins us to discuss a bit of her long and significant history in music and metal, as well as delving into her excellent new record, Libertine. Join us as we speak to one of the true leading lights in gothic and pagan metal, the lovely and talented Liv Christine, only here on Third Eye Cinema. But at first, just to give you an idea of what we're referring to, here's Liv with the title track to her new album. This is Libertine. We'll be right back. Tonight we're talking music, and we have with us a woman who has a long and fruitful career behind her, is part of one of the first and most important bands to bear the mantle of gothic metal. She practically created the style and genre that is still active and thriving to this day, nearly two decades later. As the driving force behind Leaves Eyes, she fronts one of the most lauded and influential bands to cross the gothic, pagan, and symphonic metal fields. And as a solo artist, she takes elements from both of those bands and spins them into a very palatable pop radio-oriented confection that stands head and shoulders above the competition. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to present one of my favorite singers, Liv Christine. Liv, welcome to Third Eye Cinema.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure and true honor talking to you.
You've got quite a history in music. So before we tackle Libertine, I'd like to take a brief overview through the life and times of Liv Christine. So you started out in your late teens with theater or tragedy. Tell us how that came about. Was it just a circle of friends with a vision?
Well, actually, I already had a vision when I was like 6 or 7 years old. When I was born in 1976, my parents were still very young and not finished with youth. Actually, my parents are both great fans of Black Sabbath and Ozzy Osbourne, Iron Maiden, Deep Purple. So this is the kind of music I grew up with. And I thought this is just next to lullabies. That's the music.
Right.
So I grew up with heavy metal. And of course, later I was influenced by great singers like Kate Bush, Tori Amos, Madonna, and also classical composers like Edward Grieg and Tchaikovsky and Wagner. And my parents also realized very early, even before I was able to talk, that I was able to sing very well. And I thought that this is something everybody is born with genetically. Everybody can keep a tune. So my vision was that, okay, why not just mingle all the musical styles I prefer the most with my first soprano voice?
Right.
And that's what happened at party, a gathering with some friends of mine when I was 18 years old. And we just decided there and then to form a band, and that was Theater of Tragedy.
Theater is one of the earliest, if not the earliest, of the gothic metal bands, and began the whole male-female vocal contrast and interplay that became known as Beauty and the Beast, with some very feminine, generally soprano-range vocals, contrasted with deep baritone male vocals, or as it became shortly thereafter, death metal-style growls. How do you feel about pioneering that approach? Because it's given us a number of good bands, from Epica and Ellis to Criteria within Temptation, Unsung. The list just goes on and on. And yet, a lot of people seem to feel that it's been a bit overdone and there's too many bands that adopted that style.
Well, first of all, thank you. I'm very proud to hear that you even recognized that Theater of Tragedy was the first. Together with the Gathering from Holland, we were the first, the pioneers within this genre. And yeah, I'm very proud to have started something very important within metal music. I remember very much the beginnings. That was after Theater of Tragedy had released the first album, called Theater of Tragedy. Yeah, exactly. The first reactions from the press was like, so you just can't do this. You can't have a first soprano angelic voice in doom metal. This is just not allowed. This should be forbidden. And well, I hadn't really thought about this, that this could maybe be too much or just too wrong for some people. But then, within the same year as our first album was released, you know, you have all these polls at the end of the year, and then Theater of Tragedy was voted to be the favorite band of taking the first place by many readers. Best female singer, best male singer, best album. So it was actually the fans, all the fans deciding that this is something new and exciting and pioneering. So, well, thanks to our fans, Theater of Tragedy really was part of something very, very important and very nice, I think. I'm very proud of have been part of all this. And it's all this, well, my experience that makes me become the artist I have become today.
True. Theater also had a sort of an odd take on gothic rock or metal in that you started out singing in Old English and then progressed to a more dance-oriented industrial sound by the time of Musique and Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you feel, what led you guys into a different approach?
Well, that was actually due to the fact that Tommy, who was one of the guitar players on Aegis, he left the band. He was the main composer for Theater of Tragedy on that album, Aegis. Not on those two before that, but on Aegis he was the main composer. And he left the band. So there were other people taking care of composing songs.
Okay.
And what happened was that the male singer, Raymond, he just changed. His musical style changed as well. And he was just kind of fed up singing in Shakespearean English. And and I had moved to Germany by then anyway. So yeah. I wasn't that involved in the whole process. I was more the kind of, whenever there was a practice going on or something to do in the studio, I flew back to Norway to be together with the guys. But this big change going into the more electronic direction, that was basically due to a change in personal style of the male singer of Theater of Tragedy and also the exchange of band members.
So during your time with theater, you also put out your first solo album, which was Deus Ex Machina, with producer Günther Ely. Now, this album actually has little, if anything, in common with your later solo albums. So how did that come about?
Well, you're definitely very right about this. It's something I even thought about today when typing interviews. Deus Ex Machina was mainly written by Günther Ely, producer, German producer. And while I was 20-something and very young, and I was very happy to get something started, to get a record deal.
Right.
So I needed someone to help me composing songs. So that was a kind of natural thing that happened. But after that, there was, unfortunately, a big court case. And everything dissolved, but at the end of the day I was very happy to get out of this whole thing and just do my own thing, because I realized at some point that I'm just not that kind of girl my producer and label, ex-producer and ex-label, wanted me to be. Just, you know, carrying a dollar sign on my forehead, wearing a pink dress and doing Shania Twain. I'm just not that kind of girl. So yeah, exactly. So I just separated with all this and started doing everything myself.
Right.
And since then, I've just been following my artistic heart. And that's how Enter My Religion, Skin Tight, and Libertine came into existence.
So how did you meet Alex? Because it seems like you would both be occupying some very different worlds. You know, you being more in this gothic, fetish, industrial end of the spectrum, with Alex and Atrocity being more of a straight-ahead death metal sound in that community.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we've always somehow fulfilled each other in personal life, in our artistic views. I've always found him fascinating because he's just like me, full of ideas and a very creative person. So it just, every time there is something we need to work on, or if there is someone doesn't know how to get on with things, it's just, I just ask my husband, and or he asks me, and then we find a way. So we're a damn good team, actually. And
yeah.
we still keep learning from each other, even in our private lives.
I can actually tell that from the music you guys do together. But I was wondering how you met him in the first place, because it seems like they're two different worlds.
Well, absolutely. It was Alexander worked at Massacre Records, a German record label, and that was the label that signed Theater of Tragedy back in 1995.
Oh.
And Alex was actually the guy who made Theater of Tragedy become huge. And he and Atrocity asked Theater of Tragedy to join them on tour. And so we did, just after our first album had been released. So that was 3.5 weeks tour through Europe at the worst winter time. and the conditions weren't that great. There were no great nightliners like today. So, but it was a true experience, something I will never forget. But I actually, I was together with the singer of Theater of Tragedy back then, and Alex had his girlfriend here in Germany. So it actually took almost 2.5 years until we kind of bumped into each other for the second time, and then I really felt it. It was I moved to Germany when I was 19, almost 20. And my parents told me, if you don't do this, you will never find out what true love is about. So, yeah.
Good advice. Thank you. That was good advice, and that was a great story. So you married Alex in 2003, and shortly after Lisa's is born. In a relatively short span of time between 2004 and 2006, you released Lovelorn, Vinland Saga, and Legendland. We actually saw you with Camelot at B.B. King's in New York City when you were touring Legendland. And while I love both bands, don't get me wrong here, Lisa has clearly booed Camelot right off the stage. My wife and I both became huge fans of yours that night. So.
Well, we had a great time. I can tell you that. That was an amazing tour. And, well, I always take care of my physical condition on tour. I always stay in good shape, and I never have problems with my voice. And there were some problems for Camelot on the road, unfortunately. So, well, that's things that happen. But I was lucky then, and I've always been lucky. So, you have to take care of yourself, and then you will be able to do a good show in the end.
Now, Lisa's primarily centers itself around your Norwegian heritage, the Vikings, things like that. There also seems to be a lot of wistfulness in the lyrics, particularly in the earlier material where you seem to be missing your homeland, longing for home and family. That's a very definite undercurrent with the band's material. So if this is the case, why did you decide to move to Germany? Was it because of Alex?
It was. It was. It was because of true love. It was because of Alex. Yes, you're right.
That is so,
so
nice.
And I was quite lucky because I had learned some German in the Norwegian school a couple of years before, so it wasn't that hard for me to assimilate and learn the language. And I started studying German and English in Stuttgart, in the southwest of Germany, here around where we are living. So it was very interesting years, those first years, but I only have good memories of that. And of course, all those butterflies in your stomach when you're freshly in love. Yeah.
That is a really nice story. Thank you. So at this point, you started or restarted, as the case may be, your solo career to explore more of a pop music style that wouldn't fit into the Lisa style or motif. You utilized both Alex as producer and engineer and Thorsten Bauer on guitars and other instruments on your solo records, everything from Enter My Religion through Libertine, and they also both serve as co-writers on many of the songs. So how much of a shift is it for everyone to move from the heavier Lisa's material to your more radio-oriented solo material?
Well, we're very fortunate because we've got our own studio, Master Sound Studio,
yes.
And it's just across our house, and it's for Thorsten Bauer, it's just like 7 kilometers to drive. So we spend as much time as we can here in the studio, and we have two different recording rooms. So it happens very often that there are two recordings going on parallel to each other, and that's no problem. It's no problem. Right now, Alex is mixing the upcoming Atrocity album, whereas Thorsten and myself, we're working on the next Leaves Eyes album. So, and during the whole solo production, I had my own recording room just for me. So it's just for me to call someone if I need any help.
But
is
it a big shift for you guys to change gears from the one style to the other? Because they are very different.
They are very different, but we're all, Thorsten, Alex, and myself, we're all kind of hyperactive when it comes to to artistic work and ideas and aims. We never get bored, and we, like I already mentioned in the very beginning, I take my influences from very different musical styles and genres, and that's the same with Thorsten. So like my solo albums, to put them all in one genre, I would say indie pop rock maybe. And Thorsten and Alexander both do love bands from this genre. So it's no problem to just switch off the mind and concentrate on something else, actually. It's great to be able to develop and to spread your wings, especially for me, being the hyperactive artist I am. So, my mind never stops working, and sometimes hard to sleep. So it's good that we have a studio just across the house.
So does working with your husband as both bandmate, songwriter, producer, and engineer on all of your material present any particular challenges, or is it all smooth sailing?
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, we're both perfectionists and very strong-minded. We have very clear views about things. So it might happen that there is one or the other small discussion going on during our productions. But, I mean, that's sound. That's healthy. And we always come up with the best in the end.
Right.
So we know this. So even if there is a little discussion going on, I know that at the end of the production, we will be happy, both of us. So
right.
We both need this, actually. And then there is Thorsten in the middle, and sometimes he's like, okay, just leave me alone. You guys do your thing. Call me in 10 minutes.
So Alex, like you mentioned, also runs Master Sound Studios. So you've had all sorts of bands passing through your doors, including Ellis and Delane, Dural Pesh, and your sister Carmine Elise's band Midnight Soul. And I know this has led to your lending vocals or backing tracks to some of those projects. So does this mean, like you were saying, that you spend a lot of your time at the studio, basically your life?
I do. Well, next to being a mom, next to my family, there is music, and there has always been music. As I mentioned already, even before I was able to talk. So this is just, I see myself as a very privileged and lucky person because I do have my fans, my friends, my followers since the early days with Theatre of Tragedy. And my fan base seems to accept that I am the kind of artist without any limits,
right.
Just following my own artistic heart. And that's, it's a gift. It's just absolutely wonderful to have fans like this all over the world. 18 years later,
right.
Here I am. So, it's a dream, actually. I just love my job, even when being being on the road in a smelly nightliner with 12 guys. I can take that. I can deal with that because I know in the end it's about art and it's about give and take,
right.
And the exchange of feelings between the audience and myself and my band. And that's after every gig, it's like, I know why I'm doing this.
Right. So there seems to be a slight pattern where your first and third albums lean a bit more towards the mellow, softer side, and your second and fourth are more aggressive or rock-oriented because, Deus Ex Machina was more reminiscent of your earlier work with Theater of Tragedy. It had that ethereal and airy approach with an electronic orientation and instrumentation. And I was surprised on that one that they released 3 a.m. as a single because the album didn't seem to lend itself to radio airplay and charting status. It was more of a meditative concept album sort of approach. Then you had Skin Tight, which, beyond the title track and Emotional Catastrophe, was fairly light. There were a lot of tracks that were set to acoustic guitar or even piano, and it was also very mellow and wistful in feel. But Enter My Religion was really strong, and, still in my house, it gets a lot of play. It was somewhere between gothic metal and pop, and very much akin to, I guess, a Delane album in that respect. It's very catchy, radio-friendly. You have a number of really memorable tracks on there, like Over the Moon, Trapped in Your Labyrinth, My Revelation, and the Dance Club song, You Take Me Higher. So what went into each of these albums? Because you must have been speaking to a particular mood or life event with each, because they're so strikingly different from each other in tone and feel.
It's true. Every album is different. It's true. But it's nothing I really planned. I never plan anything. When I start working on an album, when I start composing an album, I always wait for some kind of vision. And this time for Libertine, it was actually a gig, a concert in Germany just before Christmas last year.
Right.
And I performed Libertine, and Libertine was just a piece of a demo piece. But I decided to play it live in front of my audience. And right there and then I realized that, okay, this is the way to go, more back to the roots.
Right.
This is definitely not going to be a very happy and light album.
Right.
But it's going to be a bit more deeper, a little bit more doomy, and more guitars. And on the other side, I really wish to compose, or I had actually a couple of ideas already about the ballads, because I just fell in love with the idea of silence. As soon as I had that idea, I thought this is definitely going to work for this album. So I put together all these pieces, and it took me like 7 or 8 months to finish the whole thing. So since that day, since that moment on stage performing Liberty and seeing the eyes of the people in the audience, I thought, okay, this is the way to go. So I've always had some kind of vision before every production of every album, except from Deus Ex Machina, of course.
Yeah, because I was going to say, Libertine is much more aligned with Enter My Religion in that it's more up-tempo, it's got a little bit of radio friendliness to it, it shares some of the same mood and tonality to it. I really, again, like, you know, Enter My Religion was my favorite one until now. Now it's like, okay, well, I like Libertine just as much. It's interesting.
Thank you very much.
It's interesting that you chose to cover Kate Bush in this album, because I thought Silence was very Kate Bush in approach. And then you have The Man with a Child in His Eyes.
Yeah. Well, that was actually, that happened one night. The idea just came into existence one night, being out with my girls. And after a couple of glasses, I decided to do some kind of karaoke show. And the next day, I was really afraid of what the neighbors would say, because I think we went to bed at like 4:30 a.m. So I was a little bit nervous about the neighbors. But, well, actually, the neighbors and my best friends said that, well, why don't you try to cover this song on your album, because I was in the middle of the production. I had finished all the other songs, and I just wanted to add one more piece of music. So I decided to add Man with a Child in His Eyes, and just to leave all the other ideas behind, because this is some kind of song that I just included into my heart. It's in my blood. It was done in a one take recording session.
Yeah.
And and it was just like Silence. Silence was done in that way too, just to build up the emotional expression and the tension of the song. So it seemed to work. And Kate Bush has always been the voice for me to warm up to before recording sessions or going on stage, as I haven't had any singing lessons so far in my career. Maybe someday when I retire, I'll have time for that. But so far, I'm just very good friends with Kate.
Yeah, because, I mean, I thought it was an interesting song on the cover because, you know, over the years, there have been a number of really impressive Kate Bush covers, from Pat Benatar doing Wuthering Heights, Within Temptation doing Running Up That Hill. But this track is sort of uncharacteristic for her. You know, she's generally so off-kilter that this track is almost normal.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it was just actually thanks to my best friend.
So who was this guy you pulled in for Vanilla Skin Delight, which is actually one of my favorite tracks on the album? I was baffled because I thought you had brought in like a country singer from here with that southern accent and drawl, and yet I understand he actually hails from the German equivalent of American Idol.
He was the winner of the German Idol thing, superstar thing, and he was actually the one I remembered the best. After him, I didn't watch it anymore. So, and Thorsten and Alexander shared the opinion that we should have a male singer on the Vanilla Skin Delight just to make it more like rock, rougher some way.
Right.
And a common friend of ours just came up with his phone number, and 48 hours later, Tobias Regner was, well, he knocked on the door of Master Sound Studio, and he was amazingly well prepared. And he's just excellent. He's a professional. And as soon as we met, it was just clear that we would have a lot of things to talk about during the day. So it was an amazing day. And I'm very proud to have him on my album. And I really hope that we will be able to perform Vanilla Skin Delight live together someday.
Yeah, it works really well. I mean, the contrast is surprising but engaging.
Thank you.
In terms of the album, you've got a lot of up-tempo, aggressive tone, you know, the same kind of music as Enter My Religion. You're talking about Solve Me, Vanilla Skin Delight, Peri Peri, Libertine. But even the quieter tracks have some real power to them. Silence in particular feels like it could have been a Leaves-sized track if not for the subject matter, as does Libertine. So were you thinking in that direction, or is that just how they came out?
No, actually, I was thinking that I really wanted to go more back to the roots with this album, to back to the roots, to the beginnings of Theater of Tragedy. Especially the Aegis album, the third release.
Yeah, that's actually
So, yeah, I was really sad that Theater of Tragedy split up. Although I was kicked out already in 2003, so there's been another singer for years. But still, I thought it was really sad that it was just the end of the band last year. And I thought, well, what the hell? I'm so proud of this, and I really like some of the things we did together.
Yeah.
So during this German gig in December last year, I already mentioned, I played a handful of Theater of Tragedy songs, and I realized I feel very much at home, and I was part of this. And
very much so.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was the idea I had, and I feel very comfortable with it.
So where to next? Do you have a single decided on from this album?
Well, so far my record label hasn't decided yet, so let's see what happens.
So when Lee Zeiss tours these days, do you include a small set where you showcase your solo material, or do you plan to do any solo touring for the album?
Well, first of all, I will be touring with Leif Seiss and Firewind in September, October. And after that, I plan to do a handful of solo shows in Europe. Uh-huh. And for next year, I really hope to get an invitation to the States for a solo tour. That would be
great.
Amazing, because Leif Seiss did a number of tours in the U.S., but Theater of Tragedy never made it to the U.S.,
True.
And I never played a single solo show in the U.S. either. So it's about time. So I'm waiting for someone to invite me.
Well, there you go. There's the call out there. Anybody's listening.
Absolutely. I want the universe to hear this.
So do you have any website or Facebook page you want to point the listeners to?
Oh, yes. I've got there is a Leif Christine Facebook page, of course, and the official Leif Christine page and Leif Zeiss page as well. So you'll find us everywhere. It's all there, and there are news coming up almost every day now. I'm doing a lot of promotion for Libertine at the moment, so new pictures will be out very soon as well, so you just stay tuned.
Great. Well, with that, Leif, I'd like to thank you for joining me here on Third Eye Cinema, and I'd certainly love to have you and or Alex on to discuss the next Leif Zeiss or Leif Christine album, whichever comes first.
Well, Libertine's going to be out in September, then there will be an Atrocity album, and then there will be a Leif Zeiss album.
Oh, nice.
And then probably a solo album, so it's a never-ending story.
That's it. Well, like I said, I'd love to have you back.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
You as well. Have a good evening.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. And to close out our interview with Leif, here's another one from Libertine. This is Vanilla Skin Delight. joining us tonight. We hope you enjoyed our interview with Lee Christine. Next week on week 30 of Third Eye Cinema, new Drum Machine Roberts of Leatherwood and a 32-year veteran of the metal scene, Chris Boltendahl of Gravedigger. If you'd like to contact us here, comments, suggestions, or you're a filmmaker or musician like to join us on air, email us at thirdeyecinema@hotmail.com or visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/thirdeyecinema. Third Eye Cinema is brought to you by the Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio. Part of this or any other Third Eye Cinema broadcast, just visit our Facebook page for links to the shows in question. All Blog Talk Radio shows are available for archive listener download at your convenience.
With 25% off all new and up to 70% off previously leased furnishings, do you really need a better reason to party? We don't think so. Come visit our new Court Furniture Clearance Center with more than 9,000 square feet of new and previously leased furniture and decor for your home and office. Sofas from $199.99, bedroom sets from $399.99, dining sets from $299.99, and more. Free food, prizes, and fun all weekend long at our Chandelier Court Furniture Clearance Center at 13946 Lee Jackson Memorial Highway. Or go online at courtclearancefurniture.com.